Sound is all about relationships. It is affected by the physical qualities of space and by the presence of others. By a body here, another there, and another over there. But listening is usually a private activity. It's rarely done together with other people. Can listening be shared, spoken about, translated into words? And if we try to do so, does one sound become many? Do many ears become one? Or does everyone hear within their own unique universe of sound? Is there always hearing where there is sound? What shapes my listening? And what escapes my ear? Welcome to Collective Ear, a radio play conceived by Barbara Preisig, Ronja Sveneboer and friends, created in collaboration with Brand New Life magazine and Zurich University of the Arts. In each episode, we introduce to you a piece of sound art that turns listening itself into a subject. But unlike any ordinary sound performance, Collective Ear will save you from your lonely headphones bubble and invite you to listen with others. Some people say it's not about the sound, but how we hear it. Join us. Listen closely.
Bonjour, dear listener. Can you hear me? Am I sounding in your perceptive space? I am your companion, a friendly co-listener. Please enter. Let me invite myself into your auditory consciousness for a little while. You might not notice them, but there are other mindful ears around you, curious to hear how you listen and respond. they will join us into the deep waters of listening. Make yourself comfortable. You can sit on the floor or lie down and let your head rest on a soft cushion, or walk barefoot in the grass if you prefer. Now breathe in and out. Keep it slow and steady. Listen. Breathe in and out. And in and out. Listen. How does it feel? Where are your thoughts going? What does your breathing do to your hearing? What does your hearing do to your breathing? Can you listen to your breathing and at the same time answer these questions? Let's listen to a few more minutes of the audio artwork, of which we have already heard a small sequence, and which seems to be without beginning or end. The piece, called Dead Time, Melody's Warm-Up, was created by the artist Kelly Spooner in 2022. In the piece, Melody Giron, a professional musician, plays Johann Sebastian Bach's Cello Suite No. 1 in G major. The piece is usually a complex and challenging cello solo. But Melody only plays a part of it, the prelude, and is trying to find her tone. The ending is cancelled, and the beginning comes back again and again, emphasizing a state of constant preparation. A short, intermittent digital beep sounds at regular intervals and disrupts Melody's play with a strange and rhythmic certainty.
Thank you. What's the piece? Who is the composer?
Bach.
Silence. Side noise. Chairs moving. Bodies finding a comfortable position.
I don't know. I'm so frustrated. When are they going to start playing the whole piece? I'm always waiting for the well-known part of the piece to be played entirely and for it not to stop every time. Yeah, I'm super frustrated.
Me too. Whenever the cellist starts to play the melody, I feel this satisfaction. My cultural education makes me desire to listen to this classical piece that I know so well. And oh God, how much I hate the beep.
It's such an earworm, right? During the quiet moments, the sound just played on in my head. And it still does now.
I can't hear an echo at all. I have a completely different pop song in my head.
Beep. A signal. A contact. A control. A pulse. Start with the instrument. Exercise. Not finding the tone. Tune in. Beep. A signal. Repetition. Interruption. Trying again. Attuning. To look for the tone, the voice. Beep! A signal. Stable. Persistent. Starting to feel the body. Starting to feel the weight of the body. Beep! To stop. To continue. To provide orientation. To give a rhythm.
I heard that Melody, the cellist in the piece, applies a method invented by Shinichi Suzuki. He was a violinist and philosopher, and he claimed that a very young child, say age 3, could learn how to play the violin the same way a child learns to speak. By listening and trying out their voice. But the tone is not limited to the notes. It is what occurs before and after. And Suzuki believes that a child can understand this by experiencing how tone feels physically. So he developed his famous tonalization exercises, not just for kids. Before each violinist begins performing, they need to return to the state of being a beginner and find their tone in relation to the acoustics of the space.
I think my body starts tonalizing too. There is a vibration in me that is kind of finding this tone.
Silence, side wind, leaves rattling, hands searching for pockets to rest.
I don't know anything about tonalizing or what the cellist is trying to do, but I think that nothing is going to happen here.
Silence. Waiting. Heat. Body temperature. Beep. Cut the silence. Do I have to be silent? Am I patient? Shall I move? Beep. Break. Why do I sit on a chair? Why do I not watch the audience, the other listeners? Beep, breath. Beep, change position. The tone is falling. Beep, calling. Beep, heat. Shoes off, feet off. Beep, heat. Lock. Beep, heat. Music playing. Voices whispering.
It's like in a contemporary music concert, where I am sitting still and not moving, and where I ask myself, how do I have to behave? Is this already the end of the concert? And I'm afraid of missing the end, of not being educated enough to understand now, this is now the end, because you should clap only when it's really the end.
Thank you.
Listener, are you still there?
I'm so impatient. I guess we're all really impatient, huh? Is it my own impatience? Or is it actually your impatience affecting me?
Silence, sideburns, metal dust, busy feet on concrete floor.
Did you know that Dead Time was first created as a spatial sound installation at a former Fiat car factory in Turin?
I wonder how this piece felt when it was played in this industrial production area, where people walked in and out, where noises blended with the sounds, and where probably nobody listened to it the way we do.
The sounds must have been extremely loud and echoey in the Fiat space, such that the dead times, like the quiet times, were in fact never quiet. Here, the acoustics are very dry, crisp.
That makes the situation much more intimate, I guess. The sound here is so close. It's getting under my skin, and it feels like it's distracting me from going into a meditative state.
But maybe somebody hearing the piece in the Fiat factory would have the opposite impression. That's the thing. Everybody hears it in a different way.
I'm not sure if the piece works well in this space in terms of projecting the feeling of dead time.
I agree, and I think I'm gonna walk away. At least that's what I would do normally in that kind of situation. But I feel this external pressure of the group that makes me stay here.
Silence. Side eyes, slow inhales, uneasy repositioning of limbs.
What about the people who used to work at the Fiat factory? Didn't they also have to do this repetitive work and feel the need to leave but couldn't because of social pressure?
Did you suddenly hear that engine roar in those factory halls? And the beeping time clock in between?
I am taken by these two different notions of time. There's Melody's rehearsal, her tonalization of the instrument, the recurrent beginning and the quiet parts in between. These moments I would describe as non-linear, non-progressive, non-productive. On the other hand, there's the beep, which to me is like a time marker, a marker to this unproductive time. The beep reminds me that time is measured. Time is money, and every second counts. An observing eye, watching us while we are doing nothing.
The piece makes us think about how to remain a beginner and how important it is to try and not just perform or show how skilled we are. The piece is about how we use time. We don't really think about that. It makes us think about different ways to control time and how to withdraw.
You are all listening so consciously. I'm drifting away, losing sense of time, thinking about the upcoming weekend.
Silence, sidesteps, shoulders brushing, people making space for each other.
When I was a child, I often went to sleep with a little toy that played music when you pushed it. And each time I heard the music, I felt, ah, now it's time to sleep. With the beep, it's the opposite. Every time there is the beep, I wake up and I think, oh God, hurry up.
The beep, it reminds me of a machine recording electrical activity of the heart.
Or a military running test.
It makes me think of English listening examinations in Hong Kong. After those beeps, you have to write down your answer.
I really can't enjoy this piece. I'm so scared of the moment of the beep. I started counting the seconds between the beep and the next, and I found that it's always the same intervals. But while doing the counting, I was having at the same time other thoughts. I started thinking about something totally different, and every time the beep sound came, I started again another set of thoughts.
I feel trapped. I want to move. But I feel like I shouldn't, and I want to put my thoughts on paper or whatever, but I feel I can't. Physically. And then also in my body, I feel a bit panicky. My head is filled with a lot of stuff, but I can't move or express them. I think the beep is haunting us.
We're haunted by the beep and trapped by the repetitiveness of Melody's rehearsal.
Silence, side strokes, undercurrent, bubbles of air drowning out words.
The title of the piece is Dead Time, right? In filming, documentary cinema for example, moments are called dead time when you just leave the camera on and maybe something happens. but usually nothing happens. So you capture this moment where nothing happens. And I think in a similar way, Melody's warm-up is creating this frame for very small sonic events that might or might not happen.
Do you have your eyes open or closed? What do you see when you close them?
I keep forgetting that I'm sharing this space with you. I'm observing myself. Sometimes I'm looking to the ceiling or to the floor. When I imagine the piece in a museum or in a factory, there is vision involved. And I think it plays a big role how you perceive the silence, for example, or the music that can suddenly fit with other bodies' movements. These synchronizations that happen between the ear and the eye, in fact. It would be nice to see you in this dark room here.
From time to time, we had a moment of eye contact, and I was like, no, that's too intimate.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I'm not going to close my eyes, otherwise I'll fall asleep. But I have nothing else to do. Maybe if I close my eyes, it's less frustrating. Now I really feel my eyes physically. I should not fall asleep because I'm going to sleep weirdly. I could try to see other listeners, but I don't want to be rude. I'm letting my eyes play because I'm bored. Makes me a bit dizzy. But yeah, it's weird because normally I don't really do that. It's weird that in the end the eye is more important than my ears.
Do you want to add something? Shall we leave it with that? Do you think we should stop?
Do you want to add something, cherished listener?
Silence, sidelight, humid glitches, gravel twisting under a moving group.